following is a presentation of Crane's Chicago Business, delivered by your earbuds at WGN Radio.
I'm Amy Guth, and this is Crane's Daily Gist. Yesterday, Governor Pritzker and Mayor Lightfoot lifted the veil, but just a tiny bit, on what help, if any, the governor is willing to provide as the mayor faces a $1 billion pension cliff. Coming up today, a conversation on that very topic with Crane's Chicago Business columnist Greg Hines. That conversation coming up right after these stories. In a parting gesture, Mayor Emanuel's administration granted controversial scrap metal recycler General Iron clearance to stay open along the north branch of the Chicago River through early 2022, defying an onslaught of complaints from area residents and ducking an alderman vying to force it out of the neighborhood who says he was blindsided by the move. A venture affiliated with General Iron Industries, which last summer announced a plan to move from its Clybourne Corridor plant to a newly built facility on the city's southwest side by the end of 2020, won permits from the city's Department of Public Health in February for special operating hours that run through February 2022, according to public records. The new waivers were granted 2 months before the end of the mayor's term. The awarding of new permits came as news to Second Ward Alderman Brian Hopkins, who has repeatedly pointed to code violations committed by General Iron and said he's presented a trove of resident complaints about the business to public health and city planning officials. The EPA also cited General Iron last year for failing to meet certain air emissions regulatory requirements at the facility. For more on this story, visit chicagobusiness.com. Chicago banker Stephen Kalk, who is under federal indictment on a bribery charge related to his involvement with Donald Trump's former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, has been kicked out of the banking industry pending resolution of his criminal case. The U.S. Office of the Comptroller of the Currency barred him from any involvement with his Chicago-based Federal Savings Bank or with any such institution. The order was made effective immediately and gave him 30 days to respond. In the indictment, federal prosecutors in New York accused him of, among other things, lying to the OCC about his interest in being appointed to a high-level post in the Trump administration after the November 2016 election. Kalk was alleged to have steered $16 million in bank loans to Paul Manafort, Trump's former campaign manager, in return for advocacy of him for Secretary of the Army or other senior position. Kalk has denied the charges, and his attorneys say he will fight them. Coming up, I'll check in with Crane's Chicago Business political columnist Greg Hines for insight on what Governor Pritzker and Mayor Lightfoot did and did not say on a possible pension deal. That conversation after a quick word from our sponsor. At Wintrust, there's no one-size-fits-all solution because there's no one-size-fits-all business. They come in different sizes, in different industries, with different needs. You won't get cookie-cutter services based on your size. Wintrust provides personalized focus no matter what kind of business you run. Whether you're looking for deposit accounts, lending options, or treasury management solutions, Wintrust bankers are prepared to meet your business where you are and help you get to where you want to be. Find out more at Wintrust.com. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. We're joined by Crane's Chicago Business columnist Greg Hines to talk about the latest in the conversation, let's call it, with Governor Pritzker and Mayor Lightfoot about what help, if any, the state is willing to provide as the mayor faces a $1 billion pension cliff. So you've been following this so closely, and I think a lot of people are talking about this right now today. Certainly on social media, there's a lot of conversation about kind of what the motivation is for each and how they're going to work together. So what is your read on this story today?
Conversation is a good word, actually. You've got one politician, Lori Lightfoot, who has a terrible fiscal problem to deal with. Her new budget, which is due out early this fall, has a hole in it of anywhere from, $700 million to $1 billion, depending on who you talk to. That's a staggering amount by city standards. Most of that is caused by a problem with the city's failure to put into pensions through the years all the money that we were supposed to. Well, now we're finally actually catching up, but it's a real problem. Anybody who lives in the city of Chicago knows how much their property taxes have gone up in recent years. Most of that's because of pensions, either city pensions or Board of Education teacher pensions. So Lightfoot's trying to figure out how to deal with this, and she wants some help from the state. But the particular remedies she proposed so far have not flown very well with Governor Pritzker, who's got his own fiscal problems, and how they end up resolving this and who helps who or who doesn't help who is a really good question.
It is a good question. I think a lot of people are particularly interested to see how this shakes out, because I think the fear is that the 2020 budget would have really significant property tax hikes.
Yeah, the city's fiscal options, what they can tax, what they can't tax, actually are kind of limited. Believe it or not, people think that the city hall dings them for this and dings them for that, and they're right. But essentially, all that is under state authority. So the mayor has proposed, according to my sources, some different revenue raisers here. She says, hey, if you'll take over my pension funds and merge them into pension funds with those of other communities downstate in the suburbs that have underfunding problems and assume the unfunded liability, which in the city's case is about $28 billion, I'll help you raise some new taxes to pay for that. But the specific idea, she's talked about taxing retirement income above maybe $100,000, $125,000 a year, or extending the service tax to cover more, the sales tax to cover more services, particularly high-end services. Those have not flown very well with Governor Pritzker. He particularly does not like the retirement tax, even though it would hit the rich people, that is graduate income tax. And he's talking about, well, gee, I got fiscal problems, Mayor, so I'll be happy to look at some stuff here, and we'll see what we can come up with. But so far, he hadn't come up with anything.
As you note in the story that you have at ChicagoBusiness.com, in this joint appearance with the two of them, he said that other mayors across the state have similar problems and that he's looking at all the things that are available for this remedy. What would that look like in terms of getting all the mayors working together in some way?
One of the things Governor Pritzker did after he took office and confronted the fact that the state has even bigger unfunded pension liabilities, $133 billion last time I looked, is he pointed some task force and Blue Ribbon committees to look at things. One of the things they're looking at is consolidating all the hundreds of little itty-bitty pension funds that are scattered around the state, particularly in the police fire area. Generally, each town and each village, each city has its own retirement system for police and firefighters that include Chicago. And like Chicago, most of them are dramatically underfunded because they didn't put in the money they should have 20 or 30 years ago. So some places like Rockford are having to go through real trouble. They're laying off cops and firemen there. They've raised their own taxes. So the governor says, well, maybe we could save some money here if we put all these together. So instead of each having to hire pension consultants or whatever, they have one, and maybe they'll get a better return if they're investing smart with billions of dollars rather than a few million dollars here and there. And there probably is some money to be saved there, but that doesn't solve the core problem. The core problem is that there's huge unfunded liability in those funds, just like there is in the city fund. And if the state doesn't help pay that off, the locals are going to have to do it, but they don't have the money.
You have this wonderful vantage point, right, that you get to step back and take all of it in and see it all. In that, this is kind of a two-part question, but I guess part one is, do you get the sense that their working relationship is going to be a successful one? I feel like there's been so much conversation around, are these two people going to get along and work together well because so much is riding on it? And then the second part of that question is, because you're able to kind of stand back and watch all this in your role and as much as you've done reporting on this area and about both of them individually, what is getting lost in the narrative between these two working together?
Both good questions. Are they going to get along? Too soon to tell. Traditionally in Illinois politics, the ideal couple was a Democratic mayor and a Republican governor. They seem to have gotten along, Bruce Rona notwithstanding, very well. Richard M. Daley got along great with Jim Thompson and Jim Edgar, for instance, for the most part. But once you have two people in the same party, there's some jostling and, you know, who's going to be the top dog kind of stuff. So we don't know yet. They're still working it out. The real core question isn't being asked here is Lori Lightfoot is absolutely right when she says the state got into this pickle and the city got into this pickle because of lack of political will. Instead of putting the money into the pension funds where it could grow, have earnings and whatever, we spent it on other stuff, tax cuts, social welfare programs, building bridges, whatever. We didn't put it where it was supposed to go. And the real question here is whether any group of officials, whether a critical mass of officials, will finally get together and solve the problem so that we're not talking about this in another 10 years like we've done for the last 10 years.
Right. It seems like this is the conversation to have in Illinois. Even when we travel outside of Illinois, people know that this is the thing we talk about. They know that about us.
Yeah. I mean, it's over and done. I mean, you know, if I were a Republican, I'd say, hey, you Democrats, you run everything in the state, and they're right. You have supermajorities in Springfield. You have a Democratic governor. You have a Democratic mayor. All right, guys, with power comes responsibility. Solve the problem. That's what we're waiting to see. And is this going to happen now? I just don't know. It's a work in progress. I hope so, but there has been a surprising amount of jostling so far between the mayor and the governor on this issue.
And so what are the things we should be looking for, maybe tells or some deadlines looming up on the horizon that we should be looking for and watching closely for what's next?
One is when Governor Pritzker's study groups finally start to report. I'm expecting the group that's looking at pension fund consolidation reporting in August. We'll see what they recommend. We'll see whether they recommend the state just merge them together, whether the state help pick up part of the cost. That's one thing to look at. But the next thing to look at is what's in Lightfoot's proposed budget when she releases it in sometime September or October. We don't have the date yet. If she drops the big kahuna there and says $400 million, $500 million property tax increase, we'll know that nothing has been worked out at the state level. Those are the two things I'd be looking for.
Well, we will keep turning to you for the latest. Thanks so much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Continuing today's top stories, Illinois is hiring hundreds of frontline workers to resolve major delays of its Medicaid application and renewal processes. The Illinois Department of Healthcare and Family Services, which oversees Medicaid, and the Department of Human Services are working together to fill the vacancies, the department said in a statement today. The first positions are expected to be filled this week. The Medicaid redetermination process, which reviews eligibility for the state's nearly 3 million Medicaid beneficiaries, can lead to lapses in coverage. Such gaps are hard on patients, especially those managing chronic conditions and health systems that don't get reimbursed for medical services when claims are denied by health plans. Backlogs, which have increased in recent years, are considered delays of 45 days or more for initial applications and 60 days or more for renewals. That, according to the statement. A recently passed bipartisan Medicaid reform package also aims to reduce the backlogs. More on this story at chicagobusiness.com. With just 6 months before marketing rules changed dramatically for retail electricity suppliers, a new state report shows that households buying from a firm other than ComEd overpaid to keep the lights on by more than they ever have since the residential market opened to competition in 2011. According to the annual State of the Market report just issued by the Illinois Commerce Commission, on average, households buying from competing suppliers paid almost $11 more per month than they would have with ComEd. After 2 years of trying to get meaningful reforms passed in Springfield, consumer advocates finally succeeded in May. The bill, which awaits Governor Pritzker's expected signature, will require suppliers to post ComEd's comparative price on marketing materials and bills. It'll also bar companies from renewing contracts without customer consent unless their prices are fixed over the term of the deal. For more detail on this story and others, visit chicagobusiness.com. Coming up, a look at a list of Chicago's highest paid executives ranked by total comp in 2018, and with additional salary details like bonuses, stock awards, and incentives. We'll see who is on that list. That is right after this word from our sponsor. Running a small business comes with hard work, a fair amount of stress, and a lot of responsibility. Wintrust believes you shouldn't have to manage that alone. The company's small business bankers are true partners. They get to know the business they work with so they can offer personalized support and tools that help owners reach their long-term goals. If you're looking for a true banking partner, you've found one. Visit Wintrust.com to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Crane's Chicago Business has released a list of executives at Chicago area public companies, and it's ranked by total executive compensation in 2018. And each is broken out into a chart showing an executive salary, bonus, stock awards, options, non-equity incentive plan, changes in pension value, and additional compensation. But it also shows company net income, salary ratios, and median employee salaries. Brett White, Executive Chairman and CEO of Cushman & Wakefield, leads the list with over $49 million in total executive compensation in 2018. At number five is Dennis Muhlenberg, Chairman, President, and CEO of Boeing, at over $23 million in total comp. Richard Gonzalez is at number six, who is Chairman and CEO of pharmaceutical company AbbVie, and who received over $21 million in total comp that year. At number 12 on the list is Steven Easterbrook, President and CEO of McDonald's, with over $15 million in total 2018 comp. Worker salaries are also included with each executive's listing, and McDonald's workers are in starkest contrast to executive salary, with the median McDonald's worker earning just below $7,500 in 2018 by comparison. Only two women appear in the top 20, the highest paid of which is Mary Ann Dillon, CEO of Ulta Beauty, ranked at number 16, with more than $14 million in total comp for 2018. Read more about this list and lots of other data at chicagobusiness.com. Until tomorrow, that's all for Crane's Daily Gist. Thanks so much to producer Haima Black. Find breaking business news, analysis, data, and lots more at chicagobusiness.com. And find hashtag Crane's Daily Gist on Twitter, and let's continue the conversation there.